Hey, Carl Bastian here from Kidology.org with a very special Kidman Talk presentation. Obviously, I am not in my normal setting because I just want to give a quick introduction to what you are about to watch or listen to, depending on how you get this podcast, which, by the way, make sure you subscribe, however that is, so you never miss out on the next episode. Hey, this is Kidman Talk number 160, and today you're going to be enjoying a presentation that I just made yesterday to my Kidman Academy class on bringing the Bible to life. It's based on the Kids Church Cookbook, which you can get at kidology.org/cookbook. It's all about cooking up lessons that kids are going to love. Now, Kidman Academy is something that Ryan Frank started at Kids Matter, and it is a course that you go through to get accredited through Kids Matter as a children's teacher leader. There's a lot of different classes. They are all taught by professional practitioners of children's ministry. And in addition to the content through the course, there's also a webinar. There's a Facebook day, which I'll be doing next week, answering people's questions. And so I wanted to give you kind of an inside scoop of what it's like. This is a webinar that I did for the class, and it was called How to Make Your Class Rock. It's about being a rocking teacher, creating a rocking environment, and ultimately how to rock kids' world. So be sure that you enjoy it. Take notes. If you have any questions, just post them in the comments wherever you're watching this. And I hope that you'll really enjoy this presentation I did for Kidman Academy with Ryan Frank yesterday to our Bringing the Bible to Life class. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Hey, friends. Welcome to our July Kidman Academy class. It's Ryan Frank and Carl Bastian. What's up, Carl?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Glad to be back.
Yep. Good. All right. Thanks, Carl. Take it away.
Yeah. One of the workshops I love to do. Normally, I do it in a longer time, so I'm going to talk fast. You're going to drink from the fire hose. But we're going to talk about making your class rock. If you see me look off to the side, I've got my notes on my iPad right over to the side here. But, you know, kids give lots of compliments. And nowadays, it seems like one of the best compliments you can get as a teacher is when a kid say, "You rock," right? Used to be cool, awesome, tubular, you know, whatever it is. And so I designed this workshop on how to be a teacher that rocks, and not because we want it to be about us and the adulation, but because we want to rock their world and we want to make an impact on them. And we won't do this now, but you'll see there if you've downloaded the PDF. I usually take some time at the beginning just to ask folks about what are the teachers you remember? Because we all grew up, we had a lot of teachers, and we don't remember them all. And that's not a bad thing, because we even learned from the ones we don't remember, right? We know how to read, we know how to write, we know some math, hopefully some history. And we had great, effective teachers who taught us those things. And it's okay that we don't remember all of them. The older we get, the less we remember, right? But there are those teachers who stand out. And there's something about them that makes them stand out. And it's because they were unique. And maybe we actually believe that they liked us, right? They weren't just teaching us. We weren't just a kid in the room. But they took a personal interest in us. Maybe there was a special emphasis that they had. I remember Margaret Bramble, though we called her Muggsy. Muggsy just recently went to see Jesus in person at her graduation from Earth. But Muggsy was, I remember her because of how she prayed. Whenever we were in her classroom, and I was in her room with no more than five or six other rambunctious boys, and when she prayed, I have to confess I peaked, because she prayed so passionately that I thought Jesus must be in the room, and I just wanted to peek and see if maybe he was in the room, because Muggsy just, she prayed for us by name, she prayed with love, she prayed with passion. And I know all my teachers prayed for me, at least, you know, church ones. But man, I knew that Muggsy cared about me, and that made her stand out. Another teacher that I remember is Helen Reed, and Helen Reed also has gone ahead of me to meet Jesus. But Helen Reed gave me my passion and love for memorizing God's word. She had this chart that went all the way around the room. And you could put a little star in the chart if you had memorized the verses. And I made it my goal to memorize every verse on that wall. And, you know, sometimes massive scripture memory gets knocked today. I hear, you know, people say, oh, well, they don't remember all of that and they don't remember all the references. And absolutely. Can I quote all those verses to you? No, absolutely. I can't. I use this quick analogy that when we learn to first read, we learn letters of the alphabet, right? And then we start to form words, and then we start to form sentences, and then we write stories and we write poems. And memorizing scripture is like learning the spiritual alphabet. It starts to form your thoughts and what you believe, and how many of us go, I know the Bible says this, I don't know where, I don't know exactly, but we can go to Bible Gateway now, and we can put in a couple keywords and boom, there's that verse. And so I'm so grateful for her for giving me just that love for memorizing scripture. Now, as a speaker, writer, pastor, curriculum writer, I'm writing away and I'm like, ooh, there's a verse about that. And I find it. And I have Helen Reed to thank in big part for that. Charlie Hand was another one. And Charlie was a trumpet player. I was a trumpet player, albeit not a very good one. And but that common interest, he spent time with me, took me out, you know, after church sometimes for McDonald's. He bought me a Big Mac. My dad only got me cheeseburgers or hamburgers. And but Charlie would splurge a little bit, and I got to have a Big Mac as a young boy. So there's always these teachers who stand out. And it, and again, it's not about us wanting to be remembered or wanting it to be about us, but because they make a difference in our life. Secondly, you'll see there in the outline, I'll often ask, who hindered your learning? Who did you dread to go to class with? And I'm not going to mention these folks by name, but I remember a fellow that anytime someone would raise their hand and ask a question, if they were wrong, he would embarrass them. He would ridicule them. He'd make a joke. And then he wondered why nobody would ever raise their hand. Then he'd yell at us for not participating. Like, well, we saw what you did to her and saw what you did to him. And so he didn't foster an environment where answers were received as a gift to be appreciated, even if they were wrong. And so we need to think about what can we learn from others, those that talked too long, those that were all fun and never serious, those that were too serious and never fun. And we can learn even from those. That's why scripture is filled with heroes, but it's also filled with a lot of people who made some pretty foolish decisions and the consequences they faced. And we can learn from all of those. So we're going to dive in here. And I kind of hate that you can peek ahead, but we're going to look at four letter A's that if you want to bring your A game and you want to be a teacher that rocks, the first is your appearance. Now, sometimes I've had to talk to people about like personal hygiene. I'm not talking about that, but I you know, we've all had that leader that like didn't take a shower on Sunday morning and whoo, you know, but think about your appearance, be intentional about what you wear, whether it's costumes or bright and colorful or jewelry or ties. I'm one of the last guys that wears ties. I don't have one on today, but I own literally hundreds of ties, and I will tie my tie, catch that, into my lesson to where the kids notice it or they're trying to figure out why I wore the tie I wore. And if I can't find a tie that fits my lesson, I pick the most random tie. And then they're trying to figure it out. And I'll often ask them, who knows why I wore this tie today? And then they'll come up with some crazy, ridiculous series of logic. And I'll be like, that's exactly why I wore this tie. Wow, you're smart. But just thinking about your appearance is important. And you don't have to be in a costume every week, but every theme I do, I try to do something that fits with that theme, whether like right now we're doing the Power Up series from Kidology. If you're curious about that, just go to kidology.org/it, but we're doing a video game series. So I have a pixelated tie and pixelated hands, and I got some glasses with little pixelated little things in it. And so you just give some intentional thought. Don't just get up and get dressed. It's not a normal job. It's a fun job. The second one is your attitude. So important. You've probably heard the expression, you're either a thermostat or a thermometer. And obviously the thermostat sets the temperature. The thermometer, all it can do is reflect the temperature. As a leader, you are a thermostat. Your job is to set the tempo, set the enthusiasm level, set the excitement and energy level in the room. And sometimes that takes intentionality. One of the teacher training videos that I'm just getting ready to put on Kidology by Philip Hahn, that he made for me is you can fake energy. There's a lot of things you can't fake. You can't fake the Holy Spirit. You can't fake spiritual impact. But some things you do just got to muster up the energy because it's contagious. And so your attitude is so important. When kids come into my room, I celebrate every kid. I'm high-fiving them. If they're little, I'm picking them up and spinning them around. I tousle their hair, unless, of course, the little girl did her hair really nice. You know, I don't want to make her mad at me. But I celebrate every kid. And you would think the kids would catch on to that. Oh, he does that to everybody. They don't notice. I can go, hey, everybody, Ryan's here today. Look, it's Ryan Frank. He came to church today. And let's all cheer. And I can do that for the next kid. And the next kid, whether it's Joshua Contreras or whether it's Jonathan Holland, it doesn't matter who it is, I can celebrate them and they will not notice. He does that for everyone. They'll be like, wow, Pastor Carl noticed me. He's glad I'm here today. So your attitude is so important. The third one is awareness. And this is a big one because if we're just happy and go lucky and funny and cheerful, but we don't notice the kids who maybe are down or quiet, they're not making eye contact, we need to have that awareness. I play a game. This isn't really a game, it's a mental game, but if you go on Kidology and look for the eyeball game, you'll find it. I play what I call the eyeball game. I try to make eye contact with every child in my class every Sunday. Even just while I'm teaching, I'm working in the room and I'm trying to make eye contact. I do this in workshops when I'm teaching. I do it in big church when I get to preach. I want to make eye contact because there's something about looking into someone's eyes and you can read so much. And sometimes as I'm going around the room trying to just make eye contact with every child, greet them and welcome, I'll notice some things. If something's not right. And you know, I can be wearing the silliest outfit. Sometimes I'll kneel down. I may even take off something silly and say, I know I look ridiculous right now, but is everything all right? Are you okay? And they're not just always going to open up. So sometimes I'll say, did you stay up too late last night? Or was it hard to get out of bed this morning? I try to give them kind of an easy, safe answer. And then I'll hear, my grandma died. My dog died. You know, my parents are getting divorced. You know, I'll hear things. And I can't always engage with them fully. The fact that I noticed helps them out. And sometimes I'll have to say, hey, I want you to know, today we've got a fun lesson planned and I'm going to be very silly and we're going to have some skits, but I want you to know that even through all the fun, I know you're hurting and I care. And maybe we can talk about it after church today. Feel free to come up. And even if I'm busy, you just tug on my pant leg and I will stop what I'm doing to talk to you. Maybe you can even take them in the back of the room, always, you know, in clear view of everyone and all that, but maybe just walk them to the back of the room and pray with them. I remember years ago, a little girl named Mallory who was crying during worship and I couldn't figure it out. And so I went to talk to her and I ended up learning from her mom that she had an anxiety disorder and coming into kids' church was hard for her. And I was like, well, how do you overcome that? She said, well, if she's talking to someone and walks in with somebody, that helps her. It's literally just the crossing of the threshold that's hard for her. And so I assigned a sixth grade girl on my kids' crew, but it could be any kid, and said, hey, will you wait in the hallway for Mallory on Sundays and just welcome her, greet her, and talk? Better to have that than, you know, some old male grown-up man. I picked a girl her age. They became best friends, and soon Mallory was doing great. And I also learned that they'd not found a church because no one had accommodated her needs. So make sure you don't have so much fun that you're not looking for awareness. The way I do it with my leaders at our huddle is I say, Lord, give us the eyes of Jesus. Give us the ears of Jesus. Give us the hands of Jesus to show love and affection. And so that we're aware. The last one is aptitude. All right. And this simply means we need to be our best. Now, don't compare yourself to others. Don't say, oh, I wish I was like this person or that person. I can't do magic. I can't do this. Aptitude is about being the best that you can be. That means you're not working on your lesson on Saturday night. That means you're working ahead. You're planning. You're actually practicing the object lesson before you try to do it. We get support emails on Kidology. I tried that egg sucking into the jar trick in front of the kids and it didn't work. And they're like, they're like mad at me because their object lesson bombed. And I'm like, well, did you practice it? Because you might have needed a bigger bottle or a smaller bottle or bigger match or smaller match or whatever the object lesson is. Do your best. And if you've done your best, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Fortunately, when we work with kids, they're pretty gracious. Even if your object lesson bombs, you just laugh. Kids love laughter. Just say, well, here's what it was supposed to do, and teach your lesson anyway. And, it's helpful for the kids to know that we're not perfect either. So don't stress, don't get angry. But those are my four A's. If you want to be a rocking teacher, if you want to stand out with the kids, think about your appearance, your attitude, your awareness, and your aptitude. Do your very best. Now, the second is your environment, right? Environment is so big. In fact, in your textbook for this class, we use the analogy of restaurants. Why do we like Rainforest Cafe? Why do we go to a romantic restaurant for our anniversary? It's because environment matters, right? It sets the mood. And I know not everyone can build a set. I've been in churches where I get to spend money on a big set. I've been in inner city churches where I had no budget. We built stuff out of cardboard. I've been in a mobile church where we had to bring it in every week. Again, it's about doing your best and putting some effort into it. And it's worth a little extra time. I remember going to Home Depot and getting these 4x8 sheets of styrofoam, duct taping them with hinges so that they could accordion and be shoved in a closet at the school during the week and then pulled out on Sunday. It just shows effort. So you want to say, how do I make my rocket room? Number one, give it a unique identity. It's awesome to name your kids' ministry. You know, that's kind of a more common thing today. We call ours the Outpost. We're in Colorado. We're an outdoor theme. I want to make sure the kids know the church is not the goal. It's where we get equipped to serve God during the week. So that's why I call it the Outpost. And then we all have some, nurseries, base camp, and it moves up from there. But even if you're a Sunday school teacher, even if you have a small ministry, I had a teacher named Rick Brandstetter years ago in Barrington, and he named his fifth and sixth grade boys class the Lion's Den. And he had pictures of lions as they arrived. He had National Geographic gross videos of lions eating and attacking. But I had second grade boys going, when do I get to go to the Lion's Den? Well, you got to get through third grade and fourth grade. But he created this environment where they just loved. I knew one lady, one of my volunteers who loved frogs. And you know, frog stands for what? Faithfully rely on God. So she just had frog decorations everywhere. And that was the theme that she just constantly, all right. And I do see your question there, and I will address that a little bit later. It's a great question. And then another thing is have a unique personality to it. You know, whether it's color themed or decorated, you just get together with your team and your friends, say, what can we do to just make this room inviting? When I was in a mobile church, we did a lot with balloons. We just inflated balloons. We made trails with balloons, posters we can put up. I've been in shared space. I've been in every situation where I was using a youth room and they had a big banner. We had literally flipped the banner. So our name was on the other side on Sunday and the youth guy had his up on midweek. And then think about a unique community. You know, what makes your have some identity. Like ours, we have ranger vests and ranger hats. And so we try to go with the outdoor theme. If kids bring their CADVAD, that's chapter a day, verse a day, devotionals that we challenge them to do, they get outdoor stickers to put on their notebook. That creates community. One of my podcasts recently, I talked about, I run a Minecraft realm for the kids at our church. So they're building during the week together and playing together. I could do build challenges in the realm. We've built our entire church. But anyway, that's just one example of a way to kind of create community. So it's not just a class they're attending on Sunday. And lastly, a unique purpose. And think, what in the world is that? Well, it could be just your missions giving. It could be you partner with missionaries in your church and the kids are doing things with that. I've had classes that sponsored a compassion child and the kids offering in that class went to this kid and they had a picture of the kid and they could write letters to this kid and they knew what country he was in. They would learn about that country. So sometimes there's something you can do with your class to say, we're more than just here on Sunday. we've got a purpose, something that we're doing. All right. So I want to answer this question here. How do you encourage shy teachers to be a bit more crazy and have more fun with the kids? Well, there's two sides to that. One is just encouraging them to do it, challenging them to do it, creating a safe environment where you're doing it together. But you also need to respect people's personalities. There are going to be people who they're not going to do that. So that's okay. Then what you need to do is surround them with others who will, and make sure you recruit some other people. And they may not be the best upfront person, or you use them maybe for worship, where if they're a little more like, hey, I want to do what's serious and meaningful, and I don't really want to, you know, be a clown or something funny. So we always challenge it. We model it that we can be funny and silly, but we also can be very serious. There's times I'll take some props off. I'll pull my stool out in the audience and I'll say to kids, hey, kids, you know, I like to have fun. We've laughed. We had a lot of fun. But you know what? The point of this lesson is serious. You know, we just did Esther last Sunday and we had a lot of fun with, you know, blindfolds and tasting food and bouncing books on their heads and princess training and all this. But then at the end, you know, I brought it down. I got real serious and said, you know, there's going to be times where God is going to put you in a situation where you have the choice. Are you going to be brave? Are you going to stand up for truth? Are you going to stand up for others? Or are you going to let somebody else? Because remember, Mordecai said, if you don't do it, someone else will. And I got very serious with him. Sometimes you can have that serious, more serious, do that challenge. So be challenging, but also respect that everyone's not you. And that's okay. We can have a variety. Next, we're going to crash to rocking their Sunday. How do you make your Sunday experience different? Let me preface this section by saying, I've heard people kind of knock VBS, big themes and big decorating. And, you know, it's a lot of money and a lot of time. And why do you do that? And one of the reasons I do is a phrase I use. I am creating spiritual, or let me word this, I'm creating significant spiritual memories that form a bridge for later in life. Now, what do I mean by that? Every Sunday can't be VBS crazy giant pirate ship on stage, right? But I want to create significant spiritual memories that form a bridge to bring kids back. We all wring our hands and talk and read blogs and books about, you know, kids not staying faithful to the Lord and you know, this trend of, you know, leaving the church. And I have to be a little honest. I don't get too upset about that or too worked up about it, because one, fear sells. So often people are using that, you know, to sell you something, right? We always, you know, buy stuff because we're afraid. But there's also a side of it that's natural and it's okay. At some point, kids, their faith is going to have to become their faith. And they may stray in college. They may not think serious about God until they become parents, right? Part of that's normal. Part of that's okay. My job is not to make every kid stay faithful to God permanently for the rest of his life, okay? I've stumbled, I've fallen, and I was a pastor's kid, and I grew up in a great children's ministry. We all make sinful mistakes, and some of the best lessons are the hardest lessons, and sometimes we have to really fall on our face, and our goal is not to prevent that. Our goal is to build a spiritual bridge to bring them back. That's why I love the saying, I think I got it from Ronnie Caldwell, back in the day. Ryan probably remembers him from CPC's of past, where it said, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no, I got it backwards. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, God loves you. I want kids to know that God will always take them back. I tell so many stories of repentance and forgiveness because I don't want a kid to ever feel guilty. Like, I let Pastor Carl down. I let God down. I let my mom and dad down. No, we all let people down. The Bible is full of screw-ups. I don't say it that way in kids' church. Joseph is about the only story where the guy like did everything right. Peter denied Christ, right? So many stories. Jonah ran away. Noah, you can't even tell some of the Noah stories, you know, because he wasn't always a good dude. Abraham didn't trust God. Yeah, we all know about him and Isaac. What about him and Hagar? You know, so I want them later in life to go, you know what? Something's missing in my life. But when I was a kid, and I had this kid's pastor who rode a unicycle, we had a VBS but it was a pirate ship. I mean, I want them to have a significant spiritual memory that will draw them back to the Lord. And so that's part of my goal. It's prevention, yes, but it's also recovery. I'm doing both at the same time. So how do you do that on a Sunday morning? A, what makes your teaching unique? Don't try to be Ryan. Don't try to be me. Don't try to be Brian Dollar. Don't try to be any of these people that you look up to. What you do is you say, you know what? What am I going to do that's different? Now, I'm a jack of all trades. I've been an entertainer since I was 10 years old. So I'm a magician and I do puppetry. And you don't have to do all that. If the more you learn, the better, right? More tools in your toolbox, the better. You could pick one. You could just be, I'm going to be the balloon guy. All right. In fact, I think if you go to kidology.org/balloons with Brett, Brett Belloc is doing a whole video series for us on how to do balloons, right? And if you did something with balloons every Sunday or often, that would be it. Maybe it's magic. And magic can be overwhelming. Like just learn card tricks or just learn coin tricks, right? Figure out something that you're going to do that's different and unique. Now, I stole something from Roger Fields, one of my heroes. Whenever we hit more than five visitors, I get out the TP bazooka and we shoot TP all over the room. That always brings the visitors back, right? In fact, Roger gave me the plans to that, and it's totally free on Kidology because it's his idea. If you go to kidology.org/TP bazooka, you can download the plans. So you go, what am I doing that makes me unique? That makes where kids go, I'm glad I go to Christina's church. You know, I'm glad I go to Tim's church. I'm glad I go to, I'm running out of names here. Why do they go to your church? You know, you might think, oh, Pastor Carl's so crazy, he's cool. Doesn't matter. Your kids will probably never meet me. Doesn't matter what I can do. All that matters for me is my kids. All right. And I can maybe train you some skills, but what makes your lessons unique? You know, a lot of people have used toy box tales. Ryan took my idea years ago and he started creating Mr. Potato Head stories. And they were called Tater Tales. All right. He was like, I can't do the what Carl's doing with the live humor, but I can do pictures and tell tater tales. Maybe Ryan will have to give you guys some tater tales. I don't even know if they're still around. Those are classics. But it's like, what can I do that's unique? That's why I did Toy Box Tales. I love that other churches used them, but they were Pastor Carl's Toy Box Tales. In fact, I love that other people copied that idea. All right. Why would they never want to miss a week? Ask yourself that. Maybe you just do some crazy stuff every now and then. I love when parents come to me somewhat frustrated and happy. It's like a weird emotion. They say, Carl, we're going to Disney World, but we couldn't leave until Monday or Sunday night because our kids wouldn't miss church. Or on the flip end, we had to get back on Saturday. My vacation went through Sunday, but we had to come back on Saturday because the kids wouldn't miss church. And I can sense they like that their kids want to be at church, but they also would have liked that extra vacation day. So they're not really sure whether they're mad at me or grateful to me. It's kind of a mix. But you can create that. And another way, and we can go into this in more length another time, but just using all the senses, make sure you aren't predictable. Break the mold. I like to say, if the kids can predict what you're going to do on a Sunday morning, it's time to break the mold. Go outside, flip the room around, get rid of that set you've had for 10 years, paint it, make it fresh. You want to try new things, and you want to keep kids on their toes wondering what in the world is going to happen next. And then we just fly through a couple of these last things with rocking their world, because ultimately it's not about us being rocking, a room being rocking. It's about impacting them. It's about changing their life, right? So be more than a teacher. Be a friend to the kids. Learn their names. Now, I've not done this, but I know a kid's pastor, and I'm not going to say his name. I don't want to put him on the spot, who lines the kids up every week or every now and then with a bowl of Jolly Ranchers. And as they line up, if he doesn't know their name, they get two Jolly Ranchers. If he knows their name, they get one. And that's how he gives out his candy. And because he wants to know all his kids' names. And that way they're not too mad if he doesn't know their name and they have to tell him because, you know, they get an extra Jolly Rancher. But be a friend of the kids. That's why I do the Minecraft realm. You know, that's why I tell parents, I'll do a birthday party for your kids for free. Because I want to get into the home. I want to meet their friends and then have the mom say, yeah, he's our kids pastor. My son loves him. My daughter loves him. So think about ways you can do that with birthday packets in the mail, postcards, things like that. The classroom is base camp, real ministries out where they live. So, you know, I don't have as much time now as I used to now that I'm a dad. But before I was a dad, I went to kids' ball games. If you're single, you're not married, you use that time, that blessing that you have in this season of life to be an aunt and an uncle, you know, to those kids. Go to ball games, go to birthday parties, things like that, and really get to know your kids. In fact, if you go to, and I'm just going to put the link in here, if you go to kidology.org/allaboutme, I have a form I give all the kids. You can download it, where I get to learn their movies, their favorite things, but I also get some insights into their life, prayer requests, what I wish mom and dad understood, what I wish they did different at church. And I never embarrass a kid, but I will compile those answers and share them. And we recently had a worship of prayer night, and I had the kids write out prayer requests and put them on the wall and said, leave your name off. And so for a recent video to parents and volunteers, I read those. And I read the one, I wish my dad didn't drink so much. I wish my dad didn't use cuss words. Today is my, I wonder how my papa's doing. It's my mom's anniversary, and it's been a year since dad was gone. And then I read the funny one that said, yeet. And the one that said, God, make me lucky. You know, I wrote all, but I read those to the parents without names to say, here's what your kids are concerned about. I know there's a dad out there that went, man, I wonder if that's my kid praying that I wouldn't drink or praying that I wouldn't cuss or and that I would be nicer. One kid, I wish my parents would see me. What does that mean, see me? And so really get to know your kids. How often do I give that out? Every visitor gets it in their visitor packet. And then every fall I give every kid one again, and I have them in a notebook, 3-ring binder. That's how I start out my day. I just go to the next page of the post note and I pray for that kid. I may call, you know, I may drop a postcard in the mail with, and I have a drawer that's rubber stamps, get this from my wife, rubber stamps, stickers, little Oriental Trading type prizes, and a big envelope, and drop something in the mail to them. It's a lot of fun. Pray for your students. Right? That's what I use that All About Kids. I show the kids my notebook that this is how I pray for you. They have to have a picture. If they bring it back without a picture, I have to take them over to the wall and take a picture on my phone so that I can add their picture to it. So, and you learn their names that way. You find out what movies. They mention movies you never heard of. You got something to rent. You got a cartoon to watch. Now you've got something from their world or culture to bring up during your lessons. And they're like, He knows about gumball, you know, or whatever it is that they're into. Get to know the parents too. One of the things that I do, in fact, I might be able to send you a link. Maybe I'll post it in Facebook later. I have a survey that I do to parents. I actually have a prize. Last series was a spy series. So I got night vision goggles, like cheap toy ones for kids, that I was going to do a drawing. All their parents had to do was fill out a survey. And that survey was, you know, how did you find the church? How long you've been coming? What would you describe as the mission of our children's ministry? See if they get what I'm trying to get. But I even had recruiting in there. Would you like to learn more about how you could be a part of our kids ministry? I get volunteers out of it, but I also call up, I find out, and I say, things in there like, is there something about your child that would be helpful for me to know as their pastor or teacher? And I'll find out about ADHD. I'll find out about learning disabilities, and I'll call the parent. And as an adoptive dad of a child with special needs, then the connections made. I say, oh man, I talk about that kid, talk about my kid. And then there's a bonding experience. And then when I say, man, would you like to help out once a month? Now they're more willing to volunteer because there's a relational connection. So get to know the parents. You'll rock their world as well. Contacting them outside of class, phone and email. It's just so, you know, kids love getting mail. They never get mail. Know where they're at spiritually. And you can do that. There's a variety of tools you can use for that to kind of gauge where kids are at spiritually. But ultimately, let me just end with this and we'll do Q&A. Be real. You know, don't be fake. I don't have a different voice and personality I turn into when I teach. I'm just me. I want to be the same person teaching as I am in the lobby, as I am if they run into me at the grocery store, if I visit their home. Be real. You're always appropriate. Like, you know, share sins and things, you know, like, oh, I used to be a drunk. I used to do drugs. Yeah, that's probably not a good thing to share. But let them know that you're a real person, that you struggle. Tell real stories. I love sharing stories of failure from my life. In fact, recently we were teaching on honesty, and I said, I'm going to tell you two stories. One of them is true and one of them isn't. And I told a true story of a time as a young boy working in a hardware store, I stole. Now, I didn't mean to steal. The owner's son told me, actually taught me how to borrow money from the register for lunch and then pay it back the next day by ringing in fake transactions. And when the boss heard the register go and there was no one there, I thought, ooh, maybe this is bad. Then I tried to lie, ended up getting fired. And I told another story about a boy who I stole this from, I think, the movie Courageous, where the boss wanted me to lie about shipments that fell off the truck. And I said, I can't do it. I'm a Christian. And he said, well, good. You're the first one that wasn't willing to do it. You're hired. So I told those two stories in much more detail and then asked kids, how many of you think I was the guy who got fired? Like three hands went up. How many of you think I was the guy who did what was right and was the only one? And all the hands went up. And I was like, actually, the firing story is true. Pastor Carl stole. And I talked about, you know, something's true or false. Doesn't matter who said it. Didn't matter the boss's son. It was still wrong. So be real with the kids and it'll make a huge impact on their life. So I'm going to do some Q&A now with you. And Ryan, if you've got a collection of questions, or I can scroll through here too.
Yeah, Carl, let's just kind of hit it. Boy, that was so good.
Sorry, I feel like I'm talking really fast.
Oh, well, you just, so much good stuff. Yeah, I love it. I think one Carl Bastian principle that I've heard you teach a long time ago, that I teach all the time, and I believe it is, and you hinted at it today, and that is do something new. I remember one time sitting in one of your workshops, Carl, you said every week you should do something new. And that doesn't mean you have to go buy something or spend money, but you should always be doing something new.
Yeah, just try something new. I've tried things that totally bombed, you know, but the kids just love it. One of the best ways to get a child's attention is to say, I've got something new today. Boom, you have every child's attention.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Okay, Carl, so we have a few questions here. If you have a question for Carl, you can use that Q&A button. Tim, what are some tips for having some crazy fun in a service, but then settling them down to get into the Word?
Oh, that's so good. Part of that is your temperament. You know, when you're upbeat and you're laughing and you're joking, there's a camaraderie. I have this stool that I've had for years. It's a nice big padded one. I sit on it doing my puppet. If I really want to get serious, I take that stool. I walk out into the audience. I'll put it right in the middle of the kids. I'll tell the kids to pull their chairs in. I've kind of left the stage. A stage suggests performing. Now, we're not performing, but it suggests spectator. When I leave the stage, I've even walked out and sat in an empty chair and said, man, have you guys ever had a friend try and get you to do the wrong thing? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just a different setting. It's a different tempo. It's a different voice. That's how I do it. I just completely let my, you know, I'll take off props. I'll take off a silly tie to kind of say we've had fun and we've had fun with a purpose. But man, this is serious. I mean, I remember coming out and saying, man, when Pokemon was big, I know you got, how many guys like Pokemon? Can I just tell you something? Their motto, you got to get them all. That's not true. You don't got to get them all. And there's some businessman in some high rise driving a Lamborghini because he's convinced a lot of kids they got to get them all.
That's true.
And if you're yelling at your mom in a store, if you're having a temper tantrum, if you're stealing, if you're lying, if you're doing anything to get more Pokemon cards, then you know, Jesus isn't winning in your heart, you know? So, and the room will get really quiet and it makes a big difference.
Good point. Carl, here's a question. At the beginning, you talked about a huddle that you have with your leaders.
Yeah.
What's that look like?
Oh, awesome. We do a huddle at 8:30. We have two services, 9 and 10:30. And I ask all of my volunteers to come at 8:30, regardless of which service they're serving at. Okay. I do a mini crash training. They don't even know they're being trained. I'll mention the eyeball game. Did that a couple of weeks ago. I'll talk about physical contact that, you know, we're all like, we got to be careful, not touching. I'm like, no, let's talk about appropriate high fives, you know, no smelling hair, you know. But I'll just give a quick tip on how to relate to the kids. I give updates. I always honor someone. I often have a gift card. Like right now, this Sunday, I'm doing In-N-Out has come to Denver.
Awesome.
So I'm giving away a $10 In-N-Out gift card to somebody that can answer a fun random. I don't make them merit. I make them silly and fun. That way I can give it to someone I know needs it. It's just, and then we pray together and I ask if anyone's got a big prayer request that they can tell me briefly. And I'll say you got 30 seconds cause we got to get, and then when we're done with the huddle, they either go to service cause they're serving the next hour, but it lets me know who's not there. Now, always the next question is always how many of your volunteers come? About 50%. I can't get 100%, but what I do is I require it of my leadership team. I require it of our room leads, because that's who, if they don't show up, is Angie okay? Is she sick? Did her car break down? And then they also model it, because if you have an anemic huddle, it will die. So I want at least 10, 12 people there so that those who check it out, and then I go around, hey, I missed you at huddle this morning. Are you all right? It's personal invitation to get them there. We're actually splitting our huddles August 1st. We're going to have a preschool huddle and a elementary huddle, because I'm finding that the things I want to cover don't relate to the preschool workers. So they feel like, why am I here? And we're launching a new preschool experience called Jesus Jamboree. And so they're going to go over what the activities are and things. So we're actually, and I'm hoping by doubling it, we can get more attendance.
Love it. Carl, as we wrap up, why don't you take a minute and let me just tee up to talk about kidology.org. I know it's a site with a lot of resources and ideas contributed from Kidology users and members. We talked to us about the website, and I would encourage all of you to go to kidology.org and check it out. Many of you may already be members, but for someone, Carl, who's never been to kidology.org, tell us what they're going to find there, please.
Oh man, tons of stuff. Lots of stuff from you, Ryan. Kidology was the first kids ministry website back in 1994. I did not start it because I considered myself an expert. I started it because I didn't have a clue what I was doing and I wanted help. And I figured if I share what I'm doing, maybe others will share with me. And and so I challenge people to consider giving a tithe of their ministry time to share what they're doing. So many of your students are creating amazing things. Great game. You made this great object lesson. Share it. We have over 100 children's ministry blogs that give us permission to reproduce their content on the site. We don't take it all, but like the best ones or ones I really like. So but there's this archive. So many of those blogs are now gone and their content's gone. And so my goal is to create a, you know, permanent reservoir for creative ideas. There's downloadable recruiting tools. Our whole curriculum that I write is just /it. It's called It Bible Curriculum because God's word has it. Kids need it. You can teach it. We have a lot of fun with the with the it, you know, fun with that. You'll love it. But that's free. It's free with the membership. So curriculum can be anywhere from $500 to $1,000 a year. But we're a nonprofit. Anyone that's, you know, in a small church, missionary, student, we have a really bad business model because right on the site where you join, the page you join /join, there's a link to get a scholarship. And we give it free to anybody who can't afford it. So nobody's locked out of the resources. And so there's just tons there. So definitely check it out. Go to the Join Now page. There's a little video there. Tell you a little bit more about it. But it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, it's just me sharing what I'm doing, but others sharing as well. And there's over 25,000 digital like resources, downloads, games, all kinds of stuff. So
ton of stuff. Go check it out. Carl, thank you for your time today. Thank you for being part of Kidmin Academy. Carl's going to be at MegaCon. He's going to be doing some training there. So you can connect with him and meet him in person if you haven't done that already.
I love that.
Carl, thanks so much.
Sure. And feel free to drop questions in the Kidman Academy Facebook group. And
there you go.
I'll answer those there. And then make sure you're part of the Kidology Facebook group. Yeah. It's not really a duplicate. There's so many Facebook groups. I'm in all of them, but it's really more focused on, I mean, you can obviously ask questions, but that's where I post, you know, what's new on the website, new games that we've added, stuff like that. So just do a search for Let's Talk Kidman or Kidology. You'll find it. In fact, I'll put a link here. If you just do kidology.org/Facebook, we made that redirect just to make it easy, and love to get some new folks in there today too.
Love it.
So Ryan, thanks for all that you're doing, equipping, encouraging people. Both of us have been doing this for years.
We have been.
We're and, good. It's a blast. So.
It is. It's so yeah.
Thanks for.
I love it. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Kidman Academy. Everybody have a wonderful day. Be blessed. Talk to you soon.
Hey, well, thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed that presentation. You can learn more about Kidman Academy at kidsmatter.com. Also, be sure that you are a part of Kidology. Thank you for those of you who support our nonprofit ministry through joining. You get so many resources for training, for recruiting, free curriculum, tens of thousands of creative ideas, all contributed by children's pastors like you over the last 25 years. If you're not in our Kidology Facebook group, make sure you join that. Instead of searching all the plethora of groups, you can just go to kidology.org/Facebook, and it will redirect you right to our Facebook group. We're also on Instagram and Twitter and all those different ways that we just try to keep you up to date on what new resources we have for equipping and encouraging you in your children's ministry. If you want to reach out to me, just write to carl@kidmantalk.com. I get those emails directly. I enjoy responding to those. And until next time, I'll see you on kidology.org.